So here we go again. And if we can turn to page 4, Sequence of Satanic Evolution, the evolution of the satanic agenda we mentioned already, the ultimate, please understand, is God has revealed infallibly, accurate, detailed, and need-to-know information. There's no other reason to reveal in Grapha scriptures than to have this for us to know. So there was this insatiable lust, of course, to become God. And this showed itself in the heavenlies, showed itself in the birth of Christ, and will show itself again. So let me tell you this. Revelation 19:19. And what's going to happen there eventually? What's happening now is the, what we see occurring, and you acknowledging, you feel it in the air, you feel the darkness, and you see, and you know the ramping up of demon possession and things like that, and cults and secret societies and satanic ritual abuse and globalism, then you know very well that this today operating stuff that's going on is, pushing towards that date. Even Revelation 12 tells us that Satan knows. Notice the cognitive ability. He knows that his time is short, and he's furious. So we don't want to underestimate, again, because Revelation 12, it's not me, it's the Spirit of God that paints the picture and says the dragon, huge, enormous dragon. So this is God painting the picture, that this is really, this panoramic view of his attempt. He knew when Christ was going to be there. He was prepared and waiting for Christ. Revelation 19:19 shows us the Antichrist, the false prophet, the entire globalized, supernaturally charged military system will be on the field because they have to know that something's going to be happening. All I can tell you is I believe Satan knows Scripture well, knows prophecy well. He is no liberal. He knows that they really work, that God really answers, that God really does what he says he's going to do. And so again, prophecy is so accurate, so detailed. It not only blows out of the water Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, remote viewers and psychics of today and of the past, but they're different sources altogether. So we have a choice in our lives to engage supernatural non-human enhancements into our lives from the finite dark side, where there's a masquerading and always a deception, never able to lead us to God, to lead us to Christ, always giving counterfeits, but will be real experiences. I had a lot of real experiences before I got saved. They just didn't come from the Spirit of God. The spirits are real. They're entities. They can come and seek. And again, Ephesians 6, we already mentioned. When you talk about putting up the shield of faith that can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy, well, it says that they're sent. There's a sender. What are the arrows? And again, I'm saying most believers don't even know the armor of God yet. And if I say, do you know the armor? And they say, yes. Do you have it on? Well, I don't know. Because when you get to the shield of faith that extinguishes all the flaming arrows that are sent by the evil one, notice the source, notice the communication. What are those arrows? They are involuntary feelings, involuntary. They're coming. This is beyond the physical skull, voice-to-skull technology. This is the enemy here sending a thought, sending away a feeling. You feel like God's not there. You feel like you're not even saved. An overwhelming but involuntary coming from the outside in. And when you begin to recognize sometimes, you know what? That's not my thoughts. You know who to shoot. You know what? Clearing the air is what I do a lot of times. Anytime you feel oppression or feeling or even thoughts that counter the Word of God, the will of God, to say, to command everything, to command that oppression off of you. How many felt oppression in their life, spiritual oppression? The oppression is evidence of the entities. They're inseparable. And so to speak back and say, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Or say, Holy Spirit, what is it? Did somebody send this? Did I open a door? You know, get a little information, you know, try to find out what. But by all means, why don't we use the authority? Why be bugged all day long? When you can clear the air and begin to feel the power and presence and almighty, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And clear the air again and again and again. So, and I always say when the attacks come, we all get bitten at times. But whenever it comes, hit back hard. And you don't stop until it's gone. Moses, when he let down his arms, what happened? The demonized tribes that conjured the powers to enable them to beat Israel began to win. But when Moses had his arms up and that was in laws of engagement and God's presence was manifesting through, they were winning. So when we shut God up from operating through us, then sometimes we let things, you know, get to us and work against us. We need to go over the issues here, Satan's origins, nature, the methodology. Most believers, that know the Bibles enough, know the origins of Satan, the nature of Satan, the methodology. But what about agenda? That is a key piece. And again, reading a lot of books and materials and theology and all, they're missing the concept. Most is, well, Satan could bother you here, and it's all about personal issues. They don't see the global agenda. They don't see the sequential agenda. While we're dealing with just ourselves sometimes, we're not seeing them. And yet God's revealed, it's as if God said, here's Satan's playbook, exactly how he's going to play it out. I'm going to take pieces of it, the ones I want, and I'm going to warn my people, and I'm going to give them content in advance so they'll know and know what to do with it evangelistically, preparation in our own lives, how to pray at times. And so prophetic biblical revelation, go to the next page, I'll just list it this way, is absolutely strategic intel, advanced information, preemptive information. On this page I have here, 5, you'll see where it says progressive consuming supernatural secret and a goal. I mentioned two places in the Old Testament, Kings, 2 Kings, chapters 21, 22, 23, Manasseh, political leader, right? And military usually. What's he open the door to? Every starry host, every New Age God, every demon spirit, every spiritual experience. Then it gets deeper, then it gets darker, then it's Moloch. Eventually the king of the land, in the land that is supposed to be God's land, in the city that's supposed to be the city of God. And the temple has women in there making Asherah poles and things, and there's symbols, occult symbols, put on the temple doors. So I'm more mad at the enemy encroaching the church, even today, than just saying, church, how can we be that stupid to let, you know, to have symbols put in our church that are completely occult? Please understand that infiltrators, they like to do that. They like to give things. They like to give demonized objects. There's an infiltration. Part of the methodology is to infiltrate the body of Christ. There's an audacity there. That's why there's, and when it comes to the demonic, don't have any mercy at all. You just deal and you just unleash the authority of Christ and still live out the love of God and the grace of God in helping people. But when you think, well, this got Satan stuff in it and whatever else, well probably. If Acts chapter 5, Satan already entered in and tried, look at the 7 churches of Revelation. How many of those churches had satanic encroachment? The Nicolaitans, Jezebel. How many of the churches had that kind of stuff going on? You tolerate this, you know, and she's teaching occult doctrine and sexually occult perverted sexuality to my children. And if you tolerate this, that's the problem. If the church tolerates, when we're supposed to be the habitation of God, the temple of God, God's presence, and yet we would, I saw a church sign, you know what it had on the sign? This Sunday night, Reiki healing. Reiki healing.
It's like Christian yoga.
And so, yeah, Christian yoga. And so you use demon, 300 million, demon gods of among Hinduism. So you use what is a mantra? It's the title of a god, a demon god. And you're calling on it and saying it and repeating it.
How about the popularity in a lot of these churches that we were in for a little while, so I figured out pretty quick it was more about communism than it was about the Lord. Last time I was in this church, church. My mother-in-law got baptized, and it was an hour and 45 minutes into the service before they even thought to open up the Word of God. But the big thing there was soaking prayer. It's like, give me a break. I wanted to pearl. Okay. And it's everywhere. It's so pervasive everywhere.
Yeah.
And we know the issue is,
and what is the, and that's, Jesus said you would know them by their fruit. So the issue is, what is the fruit? Again, I said earlier, prayer is meant for answers, right? And I have no problem worshiping Jesus, but when we do prayer, what about the unleashing and what we need? What's the mission? Have we lost the mission? The mission of God is backed by God incredibly. And that's where, when towards the end of this, you'll see that the mission of God is what is backed by heaven massively every time. And if we can just, as the body of Christ, do the mission that God gave us, which primarily two things, intercessory and the kind of fierce praying that I'm talking about, and evangelism that reaches every soul. Why did Jesus die on the cross? It wasn't, I mean, the whole story isn't, though, I just came down to beat up the devil. Well, that was what needed to be done because of what he wanted to do the most. It wasn't God so loved the world, I want to come down and beat up Satan. God so loved the world that he gave his only, you know, only begotten son. He came to save us. But in the process, us, a sin code, a death code, Satan's legal rights, and hellbound because of those legal rights. Did Buddha help me when I was into Buddha? Buddha's a nice guy. I'm telling you, Buddha was a nice guy. He had principles. Even the master at the temple had principles. Neither one knew God. Neither one could lead me to God. So, again, it's not about, well, I'm spiritual. We've all heard this. I said that.
Yep.
On acid, in that apartment, I told the girl, I'm really spiritual. I thought I would win her over that way. I'm really spiritual. Okay? That's the night the guy walked in that showed me what spirituality really was. And that's when I got saved later on that evening. So it's very, very vital that the Word of God constantly used, constantly live, helps purify the body of Christ from giving into substitutes and doing the real thing. The words and the works of Jesus are inseparable. And that's the way we need to go. That's the way we need to really go. So I want to mention these four or five things here. Based on what occurred in Manasseh's day, the spiritual encroachment, if there's political leaders and religious leaders that open the door, they'll take everything. They'll take everything. They want your kids. They want your homes. They want to put their symbols on the churches. They want to, they'll take everything in the whole culture. You know what God said about the land that was supposed to be God's land? Innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other side of the nation. Isn't this massive? In the city of God. And the only reason, why did God let that happen? He didn't let it happen. Manasseh opened the door. Political leaders and others opened the door. Religious leaders gave into it. You know, fake ones anyway, gave into it. And they opened the door to everything. So here's what happens. It becomes progressive. It starts off little. It becomes consuming. They want total. That's like your life and my life. If a person is possessed, that it just all of a sudden, bang, they're possessed. No. The guy in Mark chapter 5, it never tells us how he got a legion of demons. Naked, in the tomb, cutting himself, howling, hardly even a human being anymore. How did he get it in? Well, he must have been born that way. No, he wasn't born that way, unless there was some kind of transgenerational, you know, that had to be a big thing. But demons, only when they get rights do they attach. Eventually, diamonozoid is the Greek word meaning possession or total control, where they can take over a body, speak through a body, attack another human being with superhuman strength, give you, you know, human enhancement. Is that why the military sometimes, didn't they try to take gorillas and take enhancement genetically and put it into their soldiers? Isn't that crazy? They wanted to make super strong soldiers. Mutations. Where did that science come from? Did they not also take the Nazi scientific doctrine and take it over on their side? Listen, we don't even have time, but what occurred there was like a miniature of what is occurring now, and only on a global scale. The same principles. It starts off little. The New Age movement started off little. 65 million in America, 200 million or more worldwide, not counting everything else. And the bottom line foundational belief, an evolution to deity, that's the promise. The belief is the need for a new order, a new spiritual order, and we must give into it. Included in that spiritual order is a world teacher, a supernatural man of peace, a Maitreya, we can look at it that way too. But when it comes to Satan's or demon's rules, you know, wanting to get into an individual teenager's life or anybody's life, that if you open the door, they will begin to come in. Demons always want to bring more and more and more. They want to get in so they can come in and through your life. If they can get in and then through satanic synchronicity lead you to books and materials to learn rituals and do other things, to lead you to a group, to get you led to somebody else, they lead. New Agers have spirit guides. Luciferian have spirit guides. I have a spirit guide, the Holy Spirit of God. He guides me. He directs quite different than those. They will guide always into their field, as the Spirit of God will only guide to Jesus, to the Word of God, to the mission of God. And so we need to understand how in an individual life, or like a city, the city of God when Manasseh was there, or like Samaria, or like Babylon, look what each case. It was progressive. It was all-consuming. It was supernatural. And it involved deep secret and hiddenness. When it comes to the lethal side, it's always deep and secretive and hidden. We were talking about law enforcement earlier. When it comes to cult crime, a book called Crime Warps in the early 90s, well, actually it was like right around 89, 90, kind of predicted that the 90s would be 10 years of the fastest growing crime would be occult crime, satanic crimes. And officers all across the nation were being trained in occult crime and going after things and learning symbols and finding out and investigating. And part of that issue, though, is that they had rituals like the Hands of Glory in September where they would brutally stab and then eventually sexually use and then kill the person. And then after it's all done and they absorb the powers, the dark powers, they will cut off the hands of the victim. They will then use herbs and other stuff. They will petrify those, bury them and petrify those, and then use those hands of glory on an altar that attract power. They are demonized objects. Why do they do that? Part of the reason is to conjure powers of invisibility to project on law enforcement and others so that nobody will see what they are doing. The Abakwa do this, and the Marielitos have done this out of Cuba, out of South America. In the drug trades right now, they hire poleros and others that will do rituals to gain powers, to be blessed in their drug trade, to cover them from the others, and to pray and to release their powers so law enforcement cannot find them. Yes. Voodoo is very similar in a way, sure. Voodoo would be used for similar things, yeah. Yeah, there's voodoo, hoodoo, cantabile, you know, the Abakwa, Palomombi, Santeria. Different shades, but same sources, and some are more lethal than others, but very, very similar. And by no means do I believe the reason for the deaths in Haiti was because of their voodoo, but there is a significant factor that 200 years ago, they stood on the side of a shore where a tree, and they sacrificed a black pig, and they fully, totally together dedicated the entire nation to Satan to get rid of the French. And they offered 200 years of Haiti. When Christians, hate, you know, that were born and live in Haiti, they got so bugged about this. Eventually, they went to the very tree where the black pig was sacrificed. They did marches. They did praise things. They had voodoo priests come and do spells against them and threaten them. They said, "We're going to do this anyway." And I read report after report, and I put this on one of our broadcasts about how they went there, the exact same place where the black pig was, you know, sacrificed and with the land. They went over there, as believers, they went over there to cancel all that, pray against that. There are believers that said they felt the air all of a sudden went clean and that they can feel a release in the area. Voodoo priests never showed up to kill them, shoot them, to do anything. And they have a real war down there. They really have a real war down there because doors got, you know, so broadly opened. And again, look at America. you know, my estimation is 150 million, half of America is into other deep, you know, other spirits. Was that true in the 50s? Did you deal with satanic occult crimes really that much in the 50s? We have no idea the frog in the kettle approach we've been through. The second largest proliferation of occult literature occurred in the United States in the 60s. That has opened the door to hundreds of thousands of people reading how to channel, reading how to get your spirit guide, reading how to do rituals, reading how to contact entities, reading how to contact alien forces, learning how to acquire spiritual things, learning how to project out of their bodies through energies. The second largest proliferation, that's from an occult historian, James Webb. The first, pre-Nazi Germany. Pre-Nazi Germany, the spiritual, you know, doors got opened and the ideologies began to form it, you know, form, and a new political and a new military system came in. That is pre-Nazi Germany. United States, you know, a lot of this can be tracked. The rat lines. Where did all the 80,000 Nazis go? Many of them became fake priests in the Catholic system. It was easy. Many of them went to South America, around the world. Did the concept of a Reich ever stop? Did the concept of the Black Flame ever stop? Did the concept of a leader that can lead, a supernaturally powerful leader? Nope. Who's behind 4.5 million satanic, ritually abused individuals? Okay, they're here. We have them. They're in every psych ward in America. They're in counseling centers. They're all over the place. Some in this room. Okay? Who did this to them? Tracking it backwards, it all begins in the earlier 50s. There were no multiples in satanic ritual abuse, split personality type programmed individuals, you know, in the 50s as far as, you know, showing up. They didn't show up till the end of the 70s when they wanted to break free. Some wanted to get out. They couldn't control them completely. Thousands and thousands came in the 80s. Hundreds of thousands came in the 90s to where they began to estimate 2.5 million. Now, in the beginning of 2000, 4.5 million, and others say more than that. And the problem is with a 50-year-old satanically abused multiple who's just now getting help but had three children and four foster kids, sub-personalities in that one, has already made multiples out of the rest. We not only have first-generation chosen ones, we have second-generation, third, and now we have fourth-generation multiple children that can speak languages that we've never learned to conjure spirits. You ever see, you know, an 8-year-old and then see sub-personalities come out of them? Now, here's our question today, folks. Who did this? If it involves, let's just say half of it, let's just drop it down to 2 million. If 2 million, and you have to have satanic rituals to summon spirits to be able to transfer into the programming of them, of priestesses and those who can conjure and do things, and that if one richly abused individual from the time they were a baby to the time they're 20 went through 1,000 rituals, at least. Marriage of the Beast, all the other ones, big and small ones. Then times that times 2 million. Times it by 4 million individual victims. How many rituals have been done in the United States from one side of the nation to the other to conjure spirits and put powers, energies, into the multiples? Do you realize how many rituals have been done in the United States? And if there are a million unhealed, intact cult multiples right now in the nation, when they're triggered to go to rituals on a weekend basis and do rituals and conjure spirits, how many rituals on a weekly basis are being done? Listen, there is no advance to the satanic cause without manifested powers. There is no advance to the kingdom of God without manifested power of God, right? Unless you're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for God's power to come for revival. We pray for people to get saved. We use the power of the Word of God. They have to have power to advance. They can't advance without it. So 2 Thessalonians 2, when it talks about the secret power of lawlessness, and it talks about it as already at work, Greek word, supernaturally operative, a system already at work, massively secretive. And how do you get to them? You know, we have found, you know, law enforcement's found a lot of it. That's why books have been written. And back in the end of the 80s and 90s, law enforcement agents took me into police academies. They eventually allowed me to teach a little bit in police academies, where they're teaching all about called crime and what this looks like, what this symbol is, what this area, with a dead body, with this symbol, what does that mean? Is it black Wiccan? Is it Wiccan? Is it pagan? Is it satanic? Is it traditional? Is it non-traditional? Is the satanic justice symbol? Is it the black mass indicator? You know, all these things that, you know, law enforcement had to begin to go through and still do. But the other side of that, as we were talking, is the concept of they summon powers against law enforcement. They summon powers to cloak themselves, let alone work in secrecy. You know how many churches we found they were doing rituals in? When they infiltrate, want to just be I just want to be the janitor. I just want to help. Give me the keys. So a bus comes at 12 o'clock and unloads 9, 10, 12, 15 people, whatever. And so from 12 o'clock till 3 in the morning, rituals are done in the sanctuary. Pastors ever tell you they feel something hits them at 3 o'clock in the morning? They wake up. You ever hear the idea of 3 o'clock in the morning, middle of the morning, you know, something, you know, wakes them up and they know it's warfare. They don't know what's coming. See, we understand oppression. We understand attack. We understand if we open the door. We understand non-believers being possessed totally. Do we understand ritual release of demonic presence that targets pastors and churches and individuals? 4, 5, 8 million rituals. Maybe 1 million rituals this year in the United States of America. Half of them, if you look at the calendar, just Google it, whatever you do, whatever one you use. Ixquicket is a new one, that whatever, and you'll just look up satanic calendar. Look at Walpurgis night coming up. Look at the ritual calendar that never used to be on the web. I mean, this is information in the 70s, in the 80s that law enforcement had. Law enforcement gave me a French copy of the Black Mass, 500 copies of this hand type version. What's on the? It's on the web now. The Order of the Nine Angels have put out every kind of death ritual, sex ritual, power ritual, how to release, you know, stuff on individuals, how to demonize an object and give it to somebody so that it will begin to bring effect to them, how to infiltrate a church, become friends, associate, get in, and eventually you want to clean the church, you want to take care of everything, so you get the keys to come in, or you steal they steal the keys and make one, or get in. What do they want to do? They want to do rituals in the church building. They want to summon powers. Oh, been caught. One that was with a Bible, bloodied, urine, symbols. They got caught directly. How many buildings we've been to? It's one thing to have dabblers put signs and anarchy signs on buildings. It's another one to have distinct stuff done. And then uncanny things, weird. A heightening of spiritual warfare, a really demonstrative effect of people, sicknesses, heart attack, headaches, you know, losing all your money, breakups, disruption in the church, disintegration, divisions. All the while, a intact cult moldable is up front saying, "Just help me, please," while the sub-personalities who are demonized, helping the outside ritual workers bring in the powers that are co-conscious, looking at everybody and loving their destruction. Have we been able to discern that yet? Because it's been going on for 35 years. They're very good at what they do if there's no one to detect them. I can't say for sure, but it seems to me that we have found them in just about every church we've engaged. And I'm going to tell you, it's not that local church's fault, per se, that some outside group decides to grid map the area, pick out churches they want to attack, and then if they can't just summon demons from their coven and send and cause trouble, they will send somebody in so that they have the law of attrition. They don't want to give up until they win, until you're beaten down. So they will summon, and they will summon, and they summon. What does that mean? To summon means the best way to get power demons, torture, raise the energies, spill the blood, and kill to get the most powerful. Could you say, and could I say, that innocent blood has been shed in America? If you have one satanic, ritually abused person you're dealing with in your city, then there's probably 200 more. And if they are 30 or 40 or 50 years old, then you look down at 20 years old and you look down at 10 years old and see other generations. If you have one or two or three or 10 or 15 satanic, ritually abused individuals in your city, then guess what? There is a coven in your city that's been operative for 40 years. It may go back to people in their 80s that may be Nazi in their ideology, the Black Flame, the Ancient Brotherhood question. In satanic ritual abuse, the real kind, it begins in childhood. It begins in bloodlines and the development of dissociating. There's preconception rituals. There's all kinds of stuff. We don't have time, but the baby is born, dedicated over. Dissociation is caused so they can begin to bring split in personality so that eventually they can begin to format raw human personality and begin to bond it to the group. Or when they're 6 and 7 and 8, well, 6-year-olds go through the marriage to the beast. They may go through bonding rituals, stuffed into a cow, a dead cow, pulled out the back and told they're born again, put into a coffin and made to act like they are dead, and that the Satanist, open the thing and resurrect them unto new life. All kinds of bonding rituals. And then once the bonding, when the emotion of that personality is given over, then they begin to program. Then they conjure spirits on top of the programming. Then they take that personality, put them down like a monkey in a cage. Then you do it to another and to another and to another and to another and to another. And then they're trained along the way. When they're brought to rituals, certain ones are allowed to come up, certain they're not. If it's a cutter, they come up. If it's a conjurer, they come up. They're put through so many things. They are utter, totally, complete victims. Even though the subpersonality, by the time the body is 17, there might be a subpersonality that's male, like in a female, that might be they know exactly how to cut, where the heart area is to be able to go in and pull the heart out. They may know how exactly to do specific things and do it because that's all they know. Like a Manchurian candidate that knows all they know is to do what is in there and what they're told. And if it's demonized presence also, that's all they're going to do. They do it, but it's imposition of someone else's will, including the demonization. So I still see victimization, but I don't negate the incredible danger and viciousness that could be done. And every chosen one that we've dealt with, and every what we'd call a cult multiple or one that started out in childhood, if they're 20, if they're 30, if they're 40, undealt with and unhealed, every one of them have cutters, ritual workers, demon summon, those that can summon. They know ancient languages. They've been around the presence of demons. Inside person, they might not be an upfront person, they might not be demonized. But sub-personalities could be demonized. And part of that technology is to shield the presence of the demons inside, to hide them. Holy Spirit perception, when we're alert, we need to go around that and see and sense what's really going on. There is a national evangelist, well, nationally known. He was known years ago in Florida and ran away with someone and came back into the circuits now. He's now on television in a church down south. He is a multiple. He has sub-personalities, and they don't know this yet. And up front, he seems like he loves Jesus, but then he gets into this frantic craziness. And demonized subpersonalities that have counterfeit giftings are coming up and portraying them on people. We need to have tremendous... If you have a check spiritually, check it out. Don't, if you, I have a check over here. Okay, walk away. No, if you have a check, check it out. Well, how do you pray? Lord, what is that? What's going on here? Because of the supernatural secrecy. We mentioned here the all-consuming sense in 2 Kings, that if they are given room, they'll consume a family. They'll consume a nation. Was Germany completely consumed by Nazi ideology inspired by demonic presence? Sure. Did it bring destruction? Sure, it always does. So, or it'll eventually bring the judgment of God, like what was going to happen there in Kings, until Josiah was raised up. And Josiah, what did he do? You see what God led Josiah to do? Got a word from the prophet Huldah and brought the word of God and read the word of God and got the people to repent and turn back. And then he went to all the occult sites and he ground all those things into powder. He destroyed the things. He put it into latrines so that nobody would come later and get those demonized objects and get those gateways and reuse them. So archaeologists in the Mayan temples and other places, even Egypt, that are opening, you know, these old symbols and bringing them. All they're doing is getting the most powerful old symbols and old gateways reopened. That's what they're doing. And that's a danger. Ezekiel 8 demonstrates again the secrecy. In the city, in a cavern, there was dark, dark satanic rituals and powers and everything was going on. Who knew? Not the prophet Ezekiel. Who knew? The people involved knew, but they were committed to the dark side. And if you're committed to the dark side, it's lethal. You're not allowed to tell. You die if you tell. The demons will turn on if you tell. Okay? So you cannot tell. We've seen law enforcement slides, tongues cut out, satanic, you know, the justice symbol, you know, carved right into the dead chest. One officer's head completely cut off by a Polaro. In Florida, because they were getting too close. And their powers didn't work against the officer, but physically they went after him. So in Ezekiel's day, the only way it worked, there's operating satanic rituals going on right in the city. On and on and on and on, highly established. Everything in Ezekiel 8 will tell you that it's highly established, been there a long time, to have all the symbolism and language and things all over the walls. How do you find out? Ezekiel wasn't even seeking it. And what happens? God took a willing believer, led him over, broke in a supernatural hole and led him right into the doorway to go right inside to see what God said was horrifically detestable. I'm going to say that in your city, if you have one richly abused person, a real individual, richly abused, satanically, you know, richly abused person, you've had rituals going on in that city from the 60s on down. You've had rituals going on and on and on. If you find one, there's another 30 or another 200 of the victims around. And the rituals and the ritual sites and the peoples and the places, whether sophisticated, and here's where entanglement will come, but nevertheless, many times we've had to go to Masonic halls and do surveillance or kind of trespass and go into Catholic church down in the basements to black rooms to find where they did things. Jackie Cooper is a 13-year-old. Well, she was 13 months old when she was stabbed numerous times. I'd held that little baby in our arms. We almost got her out of it. We brought her and her twin sister to the church and ministered to the parents, but the one druggy parent ran away. The woman got in connected with a self-titled black pagan Aleister Crowley devotee, who took those little feet of hers when she was 8 months and 9 months and would stab her feet until she cried so they could collect the tears and use those in rituals to gain power and favor until they drilled little symbols into the side of her head and eventually they killed little Jackie Cooper. And it connected with a coven called Stairway Coven, connected to a Catholic church that is highly infiltrated. And it burns my britches. She was 7 months, 8 months when we first brought her to church, and then snatched away for like 8 months. We didn't see her, and the next thing we heard, she was dead. And the mother in Marysville in prison is a multiple. There's a multiple. Did she know what, you know, did the subperson, see, subpersonalities don't look at the baby as theirs. They look at the baby as a ritual tool. They don't care if a baby cries because that means it'll draw more demons. They don't care if it bleeds, more demons. So we can either do 38 seconds of prayer on a Sunday morning, sing a couple songs, and then go out and eat for 12 hours and then go to sleep year after year after year as a believer. Or we can get serious about the supernatural. And I'm going to tell you what you do in your city, because I don't know how much time we're going to, you know, run with here today. In your city, if you begin to just to lay out fierce prayer and say, God, if there's any satanic, ritually abused people in my city, help us to get to them, help us find them. By God's providence, because of saving and healing and delivering, you're going to find somebody. And if you find one and you're entangled in helping that person, they have someone, a coven and handlers and watchers. Your house may get, your pictures may be taken of your house. We get done with the case. We come back to our house where my daughter is only like 2 years old at the time. This is about 2 weeks after a Satanist came into the church and came up to me at the crowd and people around, and they said, her name was Pam, and she said, because I gave you my book of shadows and everything else, the only way I can get my rank back into my coven, the brotherhood, the only way I can get it back, I have to steal your daughter, and I'm coming for her, and we're going to sacrifice her. And I looked at Pam in the face, this cold steel. She used to come Sunday after Sunday, sit in the front pew, do her ritual stuff. Right when I got to speak, she would stand up and walk and go out. She had in her book of shadows vows to make sure she would kill Pastor Howard and his wife or cause whatever. And she, it's the church she got caught in doing rituals inside the building. She was lethal. She was more than just a victim that was intact. She was committed to doing what she was doing. We did a big revival thing where 67 people got saved one night, 67 people got saved. They showed up the second night with a team of theirs. They showed up the third night where they all, six or seven of them got up and began to do, I won't do them, their chaos magic hand signs to release spirits into the service. Prayer warriors saw them, went around behind them and put their hands out like this and began to pray against all those powers. Another 60, 70 people got saved. But she said she's coming to the place that we lived in at the time. At the time that we were living there, it was a kind of a safe house. It had a lot of security, motion detectors, things like that. And Pam was told that if she came into my house to steal my daughter, I would blow her away. There's no question in my mind. I'm not going to let her take a two-year-old baby and sacrifice her. And I had to pray through that a lot. Okay, I had to pray through that a lot. If it's a matter of just detaining them, that's one thing. But if I saw a 12-year-old girl down an alley being beat up and raped by three guys, what am I going to do? You give your life, you go in there, and if you have to use lethal force, you stop them. Whatever it takes. I think you have to lay your life down sometimes, but you also have to realize, and you have to pray through this. You have to read the book Shooting Back. You'll have to think about it when you read, and I tell you to in the book, about responses to this kind of radical evil. Do we step back as a Christian and say, well, I'm a Christian, and I will pray for you. Go ahead and take my daughter, torture her, cut her up, and then eat her. Is that what I'm going to do? No. Some of those days of really fierce stuff that occurred, some of those are over, but what I was getting to was to say that that we were told again and again by victims that they had a particular handler watcher, and they described and gave detail and so forth. So all of a sudden, I get home to get a few things. One of my guys is out at this place sitting, waiting in the car. I hear this big commotion outside. I go running out. I see my buddy taking off down the road after somebody. Comes back finally and says he lost him. He says, Russ, some guy pulled up in your, actually a lady was driving. He leaned out, a big muscular guy with bleached white hair, and he's taking pictures of your house, all kinds of pictures. And then he took off. This, before God, I'm telling you the true story, okay? The next day, I'm coming from downstairs praying, Lord, if this guy, let's just call him Denny. His name's not Denny, but I'll call him Denny. If this guy Denny is really real and he is what I think he is, please, providentially, let me, you know, I want to engage, I want to see him. The truth before the Lord, I walk up those stairs, I look out the lattices of the kitchen window, across the street, Denny is sitting there in a car, just standing there, just sitting there watching our house. So me, you know, I just get incensed. I want to go outside and run across there, you know, engage him. He takes off. So I hadn't seen Denny for a couple of years, but in law enforcement, I did catch his plates. One thing we've always learned is, you know, look down, memorize a plate. And one thing the guys used to do for me a lot was run plates in CIC. Not that they're allowed to do that so much anymore at all, but they would run the plates. He was out of military, special ops. He was 50 years old. His real name was listed. Address was listed in Alliance, Ohio. So I went to his house just to spot out his house, just to take a look. So I thought it was all over. I've kept this man in my prayers for 10 years, for a long, long time. We have a new house that we live in now for 3 years. My wife and I, my daughter, and my old little truck I bought, we're coming, because you got to pull in and go around to the back. I pull in, I'm coming around this way. And here's this Cadillac Escalade coming in just like this. I look at the driver, and I see the woman with the camera. I get out of my car, and my truck, I go around to the window. I look right at Lenny, or Denny, or whatever you want to call him now. Neither is his real name. How you doing? Oh, the lady says, we just wanted to take a picture. There's this plastic tire hanging on a string, you know, a rope that looks like whoever lived there before us had it out there or whatever. So, oh, it was so pretty. The pond, we wanted to take a picture. I said, yeah, right. Take your pictures. So I pulled around them, went on. They took pictures of the house again and everything else. So I asked the Colt multiple law enforcement agent that recruited me into the academy and everything else, why do they do this? Why do they do this? You're targeted. When the day of activation comes, programmed subpersonalities know who they're supposed to go to. Law enforcement are targeted. Pastors are targeted. Certain governmental people are targeted. Anyone who's perceived as a threat for the New World Order is targeted. If there are 4.5 or 2 million intact sleeper subpersonalities who've already been given the pictures and the assignments and they observed. So in the book, when all hell breaks loose, we do suggest Paul was lowered out of the city in a basket and taken off somewhere else. Okay? There is supernatural strategy that God gives us in the end of days when all hell breaks loose. We are in this incremental approach, but now we're coming to the fuzzy. You can feel it first. Every time I get into demonic, you know, deliverance, the Fort Bragg Psy Warrior, I'm in the car, we're driving, we have our team behind us and in front of us. I never know what's going to happen with this person with guns, knives, or poisons, whatever. So all of a sudden, I feel this massive agitation, like Acts 16, agitation city. So inwardly, I pray in the name of Jesus, whatever Sierra and I command you to manifest, you know, I pray the Lord Jesus Christ to come against you. All of a sudden, out of this person's mouth, they said, blankety blank, effety F, cut that out. I just smiled. I said, cut what out? Because I didn't say it out loud. I said it in here. But I targeted what was in there. They didn't say another word. So inside, what did I do? In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you even more, and I command that you're going to be bound from your activities, and the Lord Jesus come against you, and I'm coming against you, and you're going to manifest, we're going to deal with you. Blankety blank, cut it out. So I pulled over the road and we sat there and I looked at the person and they were just looking straight like this. And so you know what I did? I just started praying out loud. All of a sudden they began to pray out loud in some kind of Arabic chant, crying out, Aromain, Aromain, come. And I got louder and prayed a little more. And in deliverance, you don't have to get loud. Authority doesn't need loudness. But in this case, I got loud. They got loud. And it just went back and forth and back and forth until they finally went, and they grabbed their head. And they ran out of the car and they threw up and they went off somewhere for about an hour. That was more than just general warfare. Are we out of time? Let's take another last break, and we'll come back and see if we can get into a number of pages.